Blog Talk Radio.
Archives. This is Marcy Ann, and I have a guest today that's unusual for me. And but 90 days ago, I embarked on a pattern of life called Ayurveda. In the Sanskrit, that word means the science of life, and it's about living at a high quality of life, because you get yourself in connected to and working within all of the rhythms of the universe outside of you, and all of those 250,000 programs, computer programs, that are working inside of you, and you get all of this in balance and in harmony. And if you do that, you can't be sick, and who knows, you might live forever. I live here in a retirement community, you know, and I hear people say, well, I don't want to live forever. Well, they're thinking in terms of being, you know, old and can't do this and can't do that, or whatever is going on in their life. But if you get everything working wonderful and you're feeling great, I mean, why wouldn't you want to keep living? Anyway, the philosophy of Ayurveda is thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. It treats the person as an individual in universes, the macrocosm and the microcosm. And I looked into this because I was having terrible digestive problems. I had a stubborn amount of weight that wouldn't go off no matter what I did. I had a great big stomach on me that was so uncomfortable. And so I just decided I would look into this. So I am now 90 days into the program. My stomach has completely gone down. I have no indigestion anymore. I have lost 14 pounds, and I just feel great. So the doctor that I went to is Dr. Faiz Masood. He is Indian. He was born in this country, but his parents were Indian, are Indian. And so I thought I would just have him as a guest on my show to introduce this concept to you. So here's my interview. So,
yeah.
So in your being born in America, then was Ayurvedic lifestyle practiced in your home as a child?
Yes, without me even knowing it.
So it was just, you just grew up with it, not knowing anything about it.
Yeah, I never knew the word Ayurveda. Like, it was never given that. It was never given that name,
definition,
or that definition, or that categorization. It was just life. It was just waking up at a certain time, doing prayers at a certain time, eating certain things and at a certain time.
When did you find out what your dosha was then? I mean, was that later on when you did your schooling?
Well,
tell me about that part then, the schooling part.
Sure.
And your certification.
Okay, sure. So, I got my undergrad in biology from Northeastern Illinois. Like I mentioned earlier, I was born and raised in Chicago, and then I've been living in Southern California for the last 6 years. But yeah, I did my undergrad in biology, and even that to me just seems like such a broad field, like biology. It's like, wow. But in a way, it was great because it was leading to something later on. So even after I got that degree, I'm like, okay, great. I have a Western understanding of, you know, of life, of biological life. Now, what is it about it that's really interesting me? What is it about it that I can narrow in and specialize in?
In that big concept, I found this philosophy statement online. Let me read it. It's just, the basic premise of Ayurveda is that the entire cosmos or universe is part of one singular absolute.
Yes.
And that there's the macrocosm, the whole great big thing, and then the microcosm, which is the within us, that is just a mirror of the great big thing. And that the human body consists of 50 to 100 million cells.
Mm.
When healthy, is in harmony, self-perpetuating, and self-connecting, just as the universe is. So, and what a perfect background to start with biology.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a different way. It was the conventional way of looking at things, and I thought that's what it is. I thought that's what life is. And that's a great quote or that bit of information that you found, because it's spot on. I'll get into that more.
Okay, in a minute. All right.
Because I actually have a quote from the Upanishad, from the scriptures, from Ayurveda scriptures that relate perfectly to that. So after I got my biology degree, I wasn't really attracted to our conventional health model. I knew I wanted to.
Which
do,
is what?
And I have
by our, you're saying the Indian conventional health model or the American?
I mean the Western
medicine type.
Yes, Western medicine.
Oh, okay.
See, it's funny, sometimes I forget my own identity. if I'm referring to myself as Indian, American, or both. But yeah, the Western model, because that is what I grew up with. Also around me. Although our lifestyle at home involved a lot of Ayurvedic remedies and lifestyle choices, there was still Western influence. There was still,
Did your mother take you to the doctor?
Yes, but very, very rarely, thank God. We always tried natural things first. Yeah, we always tried natural things first. So yeah, after that, I was trying to really narrow in what do I really like? How can I really benefit, you know, humanity?
What a wonderful idea. I wonder how many people think that, to benefit humanity. Mostly they're saying, how can I make some money and get some stuff? So
yeah.
That was a very spiritual
It was. I definitely had to shift my perception of thinking. So I started digging and researching, and I love what Bruce Lee said. Bruce Lee says, absorb what is useful, discard what is not, add uniquely what is yours. And so that's what I feel. I feel my whole life has been an integration, and that's what I've been doing. I just absorb what I feel is useful and beneficial. And, just filter out what may not be my strength or my things that I may not be good at, and then just add uniquely what's yours.
That's really great.
So in that path, I have always been a student and lover of energy and motion.
Me too.
And, growing up, I was dancing and doing martial arts and things like that. So that part of biology really stuck with me, is the actual human biology. And so that pushed me into the realm of some kind of physical medicine, maybe. I was still kind of gray in that area. And then I came across a great teacher and mentor back in Chicago, and he was a chiropractor. And just looking at, you know, his practice and then his lifestyle, really, his lifestyle, and then most importantly, his character. That's what I was like, yeah, I want to, you know, this is how I want to be. This is how, you know, I feel like I can be the most alive is, you know, through this thing, whether it's a profession, whether it's just something I want to try out or learn about, I want to make steps towards that. So yeah, I was just I'm looking for different chiropractic schools, and then there was also a point in my life where I was getting at this point in my life I was getting really stagnant.
Were you earning a living at anything at that time, or?
Yeah. So what I was doing is I was doing like odd-end jobs, and then I started working for this chiropractor actually. As just like assistant, front desk, reception. Which was great because I learned the ins and outs of a practice, the business part of it,
yeah,
things like that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
And the communication with people, like with patients and people that come in, it was great to really communicate with them. And so yeah, even though I had that, you know, that wonderful source, that wonderful push into a field, I just felt like there were things also going on in my life that I was starting to get really stagnant. The kapha energy.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit more about kapha.
Yeah.
About Vata, Pitta, and kapha. But the kapha energy was very imbalanced. Meaning,
if it gets bored, then we just sit on a sofa and do nothing.
Yeah. I felt like I was getting stuck, and so I needed a change. And so I thought if I'm going to go, you know, get some higher education, I need to change. I need to change my environment. So don't get me wrong. I love Chicago. That's where I was born and grew up. But, you know, things come along in our life where we need to make a change, and we need to remove ourselves from an environment and try something else out. Get the Vata energy, the wind energy moving.
Yes.
And turning. That's how you counter kapha, is you increase Vata. You increase to counter a heavy energy, the kapha energy. Things, if you feel like it's imbalanced and it's making you very stagnant, then you need to increase the wind energy. You need to actually increase movement. You actually need to move. In whatever regards, whether that's actually physically, internally, spiritually, you just need some kind of movement. And that for me, that's what I needed. So I moved to the total other end of the country, to California.
Did you know anyone out here?
No, I didn't know any people. No one.
What made you choose it?
Family, friends. The chiropractic school.
Oh, okay.
SCU Health Sciences. It had a chiropractic program, it had an acupuncture program, it had a massage program. When I first started, it did not have an Ayurveda program. Mm. They added that later on, which I'll get into. But when I saw all of these in one institution,
yeah,
I was very attracted to that. And their motto was involved healing evolved, integration, keywords like that. That really attracted me. I'm like, wow, this is what I want to do. This is really what I want to do. Not knowing that that institution would actually open doors to more knowledge, more fields, more specializations that you know, I wanted to get into, namely Ayurveda. So I moved to I moved here to SoCal, and I started chiropractic school, and that was incredible. Chiropractic gave me a great brain-body connection. It helped me really understand how we work on various systems. Of course, chiropractic focuses on the nervous system, the bones, and the muscle, but it was an intro into holistic health for me. to know what it means to be whole, to strive towards that. So chiropractic was great. Not to mention, I loved the motion, the biomechanics, you know,
mm-hmm.
when I watch people move and dance and do other just motion, it's just, it intrigues me, you know. So it was great to really get in touch with that, to really develop my skills in that field.
So then you graduated first as a chiropractor because you do massage
yeah.
And
Ayurveda.
And do you do the acupuncture too?
No, I don't do acupuncture. So yeah, in the last half year of my chiropractic school,
oh,
I was
okay.
doing my internship, and then they brought out this program called Ayurveda, and for me that kind of I was like, wow, wait, what is this? I was like, this sounds so familiar.
This is funny to me because Ayurveda is so quote unquote Indian,
yeah.
And here you don't even know what it is. Do you think that's because
yeah.
you were born in America, or would
yes.
it be just as true in India?
Sadly, it's starting.
It's not a name that has.
No. It's definitely known in India, but it has also it's slowly been taking a back seat to more conventional medicine.
Really, that's terrible.
I mean, it's the time, right? It's the modern time, so things, ideas spread, especially, you know, those that involve like a quick fix and not so
the
much.
The little blue pill, just give me the little
yeah.
blue pill, I don't want anything else, just mask all these symptoms
yeah.
and let me get on with my life. That's
yeah.
just...
That's just what I feel. I mean, it's definitely out there. It's definitely still in India. There's also other forms of medicine that are very, very similar to Ayurveda. They may just have one or two concepts different, or it might be catered to a more specific region of India or anywhere
mm-hmm.
in that area
mm-hmm.
that is more appropriate to their herbs, to their food that's grown there. To,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
So they just take whatever they have from that,
right.
from that area. so yeah, in my last half year of my chiropractic schooling, Ayurveda came about, and it did. Actually, I take it back. It did sound very familiar because I just couldn't put my finger on it. Like, I think I know this. So it attracted me to it, and then, man, I must say, like, I feel so blessed for the teachers and the people. I mean, I think everyone I meet is a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But those who particularly taught me Ayurveda, they just blew my mind wide open, and... You know, I every step of the way, new doors kept opening up, new veils kept getting lifted, and I felt more whole. I felt like I was I felt like I was really learning holistic healthcare, or what it is to live holistically.
So you were actually living it as well as learning it.
Oh, you have
you
to.
You were applying it in
you
your
have
life.
To. Absolutely, you have to. And it's fun. It's so much fun because...
Well, I've enjoyed doing it.
Yeah, Marcy, it's been wonderful to see you, you know, transform, to you know, to actually know about it. It starts with, you know, learning, and then, you know, you start applying. And that's what I had to do every step of the way because it was new. Although some
so is that when you found out you were a kapha?
yeah.
but
yeah.
I what I've been studying since I've been doing all this is that. Is the ultimate to be balanced in all three?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you always have a primary.
Yeah. You can. There are. I mean, it's rare for someone to be tridoshic. To be completely like you know equal.
I did one of these tests online.
Mm-hmm.
It had like about 200 questions. And I wanted to show you what happened because I don't know, just in doing what you taught me how to do, this
mm-hmm.
turned out to be like balanced in all three. I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. 30, 40, 30.
Yeah, that's bought
up. Perfect.
So in my experience and from my understanding, these bioenergies, vata, pitta, and kapha, they are, to some level, they're all in us. They have to be.
Mm-hmm.
They're the three governing forces or energies that govern everything according to Ayurveda. So they are in us, but there are some that are more prevalent than others. This can, you can relate this to, you know, what they say as genes, right? You have certain genes, so you may have a gene that will lead you more towards a certain body type, or more towards a certain metabolism,
yes,
or more towards even mental and even mental and emotional tendencies, patterns. Let's say now you're not completely subjected to it, but it is your blueprint that you go off of. Of course, your environment and your personal lifestyle choices will affect those energies, will cause, you know, things to change and shift around. We see this now with what they call epigenetics.
Yes.
But, you know, more or less...
And alike and unlike, that concept, did you study that one in school?
Oh, yes.
Like and unlike.
Yes, absolutely.
And then whatever we think or...
Yeah.
Or eat, or all either
absolutely
contributes to the like, which anything that enters the body can exert three possible effects on the organism, and then there's the five elements. I don't want to get ahead of
but
so go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So it's all a balancing act. Life is all a balancing act. Ayurveda is all a balancing act. Chiropractic is all a balancing act.
But the chiropractic, it was interesting what you said about that. That introduced you to the mind-body connection.
No, great. Thanks
yeah,
for bringing me back.
Yeah, let's go back to that.
Yeah, chiropractic...
Because that's so critical.
Yeah, absolutely. Chiropractic gave me a good brain-body connection. Ayurveda gave me a good mind-body-spirit connection.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say...
Because they recognize the self.
Of course.
The over-self.
Yeah, of course.
Which was, I think, the Western medicine just completely ignores.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate,
mm-hmm,
because, you know...
Your self-person.
Yeah, you have a mind, you have a heart.
The inner dimension of our nature.
Yeah, that absolutely...
The central point of our being, the hub of the wheel.
That absolutely must be considered in
the
health.
True inner center, thoughts, feelings, speech, action, relationships.
Oh my gosh,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
many,
all of that.
How many times have we, you know, been emotional and done, you know, has it affected our physiology?
Absolutely.
You know, how many times have we been hopeful and inspired and
disappointed?
or disappointed, and how does it affect our
physiology?
Being? Yeah, our physiology, our actions, our judgment, things like that. So, to me, Ayurveda kicked open a door of just I felt like I was studying biology all over again, but in a different lens.
That's why I was thinking how biology was such the perfect entrance.
It was, and you know, I couldn't link it together until I just actually sat back and I was like, what have I learned in the last so-and-so years? And I was like, oh my gosh, I have an undergrad in biology. And I was, it was great because I started linking different aspects of that, of biology and Ayurveda, because... So let me just get into what Ayurveda.
Okay.
Let me just get into what Ayurveda is.
All right.
It just keeps coming up. So Ayurveda.
I'm going to spell this word.
So.
A Y U R V E D A. Is that a Hindu?
Sanskrit. It's Sanskrit.
And what does it mean?
A great question. Okay. So Ayurveda. Ayurveda literally means the knowledge of life, the science of life.
Science of life. Okay.
Ayur means life. Veda means science or knowledge.
Okay.
So it means the science of life. Okay, what does that mean? It means everything. It means being whole. It means balancing the mind, body, and spirit. It's the science of aliveness. That's what I like to call it. You know, yeah, you can say, quite literally, it's the science of life. But to me, I feel like it's the science of aliveness, how to extract aliveness out of yourself and out of the environment to harmonize. Ayurveda's main goal is, they say, swastya swastya rakshanam, which means to protect health and prolong life. Now, to me, definitely to protect health, to prevent things from even coming up, to just be healthy. And the second part of that, when it says to prolong life, to me that means to increase the quality of
life. Yeah.
Rather than worrying about adding years to your life,
mm-hmm.
and maybe not really feeling fulfilled, more so adding substance, quality to your life. And naturally, you know, whether you add more years or not, you will feel like you lived 1,000. And then the other part of it, the other aim is atursya vikara prashamancha. Wow. I'm still working on my Sanskrit. There's a lot of syllables. And that translates to eliminate diseases and dysfunctions of the body. So
wonderful.
It's two part. First Ayurveda wants you to concentrate on just living healthy to begin with, to prevent things and to extract the most quality out of your life. We're human. We go out of imbalance, so that's where the second part comes in. So if you do have an imbalance, there's also this element of methods and techniques to eliminate those diseases and imbalances of the body.
Well, actually, that's what I prefer to call disease rather than using the word disease.
Yeah,
I like to call it imbalance.
I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way of looking at it. Because that's how Ayurveda looks at it. It looks at it
mm-hmm.
as an imbalance.
Something
is
in imbalance somewhere. And why is it not in balance?
Yeah.
And which element or part of our life, the many parts of our life.
Yeah. Absolutely. So Ayurveda is about pretty much getting in line with aligning yourself with nature. So I like what you began to, what you were saying earlier, and I'm going to read this. This is out of the Upanishads. It's a scriptures. It says, as is the human body, so is the cosmic body. As is the human mind, so is the common mind. As is the microcosm, so is the macrocosm.
Mm-hmm.
As is the atom, so is the universe.
Yes.
So it just goes back to this concept of harmonizing yourself with the universe, with nature.
I like to say on my show lots of times, you know, if our Earth turned on its axis at 1 degree slower, it would just throw off everything. That's how perfectly our system works, you know, in the universe.
And
we can get our inner solar systems, our inner galaxies, working in such perfection, then there isn't any way it could ever be in disease.
Yeah.
Once you get it into balance.
Totally.
I have felt such a, felt this balance as I have done the program that you laid out for me in a whole
Wonderful.
Different way in my life than I ever had before. See, and I'm 81 years old, so it's like it's not that I'm just getting started here.
Yeah.
I've tried lots of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the rhythms of nature, the cycles, when we get into harmony with that. And the very first thing you emphasized for me was eating at a certain time every day. And I had to set up a discipline about that. So the first, you know, you said to have my breakfast and to eat at each time,
mm-hmm.
breakfast, lunch, and
mm-hmm.
dinner, you know.
Yeah.
So I set that up.
Yeah.
And And now, and you said that it would be a rhythm that my body would go into then. Mm-hmm. Well, my body went into that rhythm. It loved it.
Yes. Wonderful.
Yeah, it loved it. And the and it got, and then you said it would get used to having certain things at certain times. You know, and I could just kind of see all these little cells in my body that were saying, oh, it's almost time for us to get our stuff at lunch. It's like they line up, you know, to get it. And then it makes it all, and the other thing about it was, in knowing that I should eat certain things for my kapha dosha, on the diet that you set up for me, and I don't like to call it a diet because I didn't do it to lose weight. I did it to get at the, you know, I had that huge big stomach when I first came, and that's all gone. See how it's just all gone.
I'm very impressed. Yeah,
and the leaky gut thing, because of the things I ate and those chia seeds that you put in the smoothie, you know, and that smoothie is the almost the best part.
But it was
the rhythm, this thing of being one with the nature and one with the rhythms and the cycles and all. And then, you know, I, as a being a woman, I have the cycle of the, you know, because I have babies, you know, used to make babies. Well, you keep those cycles your whole life. I mean, even though I don't do that, I can't make babies anymore, I still have that cycle.
Yes.
And you're going to have the
male energy
cycle.
And you still have that female energy.
And you feel, you still have those.
Oh,
and if you're not aware of it, and if you're not in balance with it, you know, it's all part of loving yourself, actually, you know, of getting in touch with all of this. But, so when you first have a patient come in, then I remember we did some things for you to establish what my primary dosha would have been. So talk a little bit about that.
Sure. When someone comes in, it's important to establish their blueprint. I was saying their we call it prakruti, but what that means is your mind body constitution. What are you made up of? What are your patterns? What are your tendencies? Physically, mentally, and emotionally. So
it says, according to Ayurveda, we each have a unique constitution.
Yes.
So our health prescription must be unique to us.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
And
That makes a lot of sense. So according to what your mind-body constitution is.
So you ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And physically, you looked at certain things. What was that?
There are three main categories when determining prakriti is your physical appearance. So that's, you know, overall body shape, your bones, your joints, your actual facial features, anything physical. It can go really detailed to the shape of your eyes, to the length of your nose, to things like that. But they're all tools to give you a base. Now, that's why it's kind of, it may kind of be inaccurate if one were to do that, like, online or something like that, because it's very subjective. It's you trying to answer that. And so, you know, it's very relative. So to you may think that, I don't really have a kapha type nose, because, you know, you're comparing it to yourself. But if a practitioner or someone else is looking at
who's
you,
who's been trained,
they can give you a more fair or the most least biased you know. Of course, you know, everything's not spot on and things change, but it gives you an overall idea. The key is to notice a pattern. So you know, and physical traits, maybe, I don't know, 4 out of 5 maybe more kapha-like traits, but one physical thing points to a pitta or a vata type thing. It's not to discard totally that to either one, but it just gives you an idea to go off of.
Mm-hmm.
Hair, like hair texture, skin, dryness of the skin, you know, whether, you know, it's really dry or just, you know, medium, or whether it's extra oily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any physical characteristic you think of?
You looked at my tongue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, tongue is a step, when we get into more diagnostics, tongue analysis, pulse analysis,
is
looked at a lot more. That indicates how your digestion is, by looking at your tongue.
Well, that was where I needed the help. I was eating Tums from
alone.
Morning till 1
yeah,
night.
Yeah, there a lot.
And all of that has been balanced out now.
Yeah. The main portal of entry for Ayurveda, I would say, is your gut.
Yes.
And your mind, of course, but if we're to look at it physically.
Physically.
It's your gut.
Yep.
For chiropractic, it's your spine, but for Ayurveda, it's your gut. If you want to change the fruits, you have to change the roots. And so that your gut is where you extract. It's one of your main processing centers. So it's where you extract all the nutrients from your food. So that you know, in almost every imbalance in Ayurveda, that is the first thing we correct is your digestion.
Mm-hmm.
And
see, I don't have to take that. I was taking a probiotic thing pill
mm-hmm.
before, and I don't have to do that now.
Wonderful, yeah.
Yeah.
See, and
or Tums, none of that.
That
my system is because it likes what it's getting now.
Yes, absolutely.
It fits my system.
You're becoming more holistic, and that's the beauty of Ayurveda, or other sciences that includes some of the same concepts is, you know, you can kill a bunch of birds with one stone, so to say.
Yeah,
you can. You know, you don't have to take things so much separately. You know, once you start fixing one energy or certain energies, then other things start leveling out. You don't have to target certain things specifically, like
or spend your time trying to deal with it.
Yes.
Or the mental stress of it. You know, it's once the body starts to work like it's supposed to, then that relieves you of all of that.
Yeah.
Now you have all that extra energy that's available to put into maybe getting your most impossible dream done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a cleansing of your body. It's a cleansing of your mind, your will,
mm-hmm.
Everything. So,
and then I ended up losing weight, which was sort of a side benefit that I
like how you said that.
Yeah, of it. Because my body was used to, my body got used to having the things that it really, really, really likes. And then I also was eating without any guilt or idea of the shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
Yes.
You know, or shame or any of that, because
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, oh, this is what my body loves. And I could eat it in happiness,
mm-hmm.
you know, and joy. And I never gave a thought about whether it was fattening or because I knew it was good for me. See?
Great. That's a great point.
Yeah. And then the weight just went off. I wasn't even hardly aware of it. And it didn't happen right at the beginning.
Yeah.
That was what was so interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
it was like somewhere along the line,
uh-huh.
there was a click. And the body was beginning to get what it really needed. And then it thought, well, so I don't need this now, right?
It takes a little.
It was just it was just natural happened later on.
Yeah, it takes the body a while to break certain patterns.
Yeah.
To break through certain toxins. But
and break them down.
Break them
and
down.
And eliminate them.
And eliminating is a whole is
and
a whole other part.
And then the you know the water thing. the water thing was
That I have had to be disciplined about that because I forget.
Me too.
I forget.
Yes.
And so, and then my body will, you know, feels the need for it. Well, you know, thankfully we have the thirst reminder.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially living in SoCal.
I know, where we have a dry climate to start with, so we have to be even more careful.
Exactly, and that's a great point.
Yeah.
Not only, you know, are we to, not only is it beneficial to balance your prakriti, your mind-body constitution, but it's also very beneficial to balance yourself with the seasons or your environment. So
exactly.
Southern California.
And go with the cycles and things and be in the rhythms.
Yeah. Southern California, dry. How do you counter that? How do you balance that? You need to balance it with more nourishing things, more oil.
Water in your in your food too, and right.
Good oils, healthy oils. And
healthy
I like how you mentioned that weight loss was just a result.
Yes, it was just a result.
Exactly. You know, good health is just a result. You try to extract aliveness, and good health is just a result. You'll be smiling, and you won't. Your tummy will be smiling. You'll be smiling, and you won't even know it. It's just you'll just start to glow. So you know, when you stop concentrating on like symptoms or things
exactly.
like that, and concentrating more on like the actual energy or you know.
I
things,
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't deal with the symptoms. I've always said that. Let's go to cause and core, and let's work it out from the original divine blueprints, ideas of our oneness with everything and being in balance with that.
Yeah. We've been given so many tools and this knowledge of these three energies. So going along with the mind-body constitution, the three main energies are... So we have five elements that compose the universe.
Earth, fire,
very good.
Water, ether,
air.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Exactly. Air, fire, water, earth, and ether. We also refer to that as space.
Space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are Ayurveda's, what do you call it, periodic table. As you get,
so earth is bones, ligaments,
mm-hmm.
our skeletal structure.
Yes. So each one of these elements are actually also metaphors or representations of things in the universe and within us. So these five elements, you know, ether or space, it's simply the space that we occupy, the cavities in our lungs, the cavities in our abdomen and everywhere, the space that we fill in on this earth. Water, the water element is representative of cohesion, of things, binding things together, of sticking. Of course, it has a flowing element too.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the water element. The earth element is more geared towards stability, strength, foundation, hardness. Things of those nature. When we think of earth, we think of sturdy,
like a mountain.
A fire. The fire energy represents transformation, change, the enzymatic processes in your cells in your body. That is fire.
And it changes things.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the biggest sources of fire in your body is your gut. We call it, is your digestive system. We call that your Agni.
Agni.
Your digestive fire. And many other systems have this in there too, the digestive fire, especially in Chinese medicine as well. So that's the fire. The air, or wind, whichever you refer to it, is representative of movement on all levels. Movement in your body, movement in nature, the automatic things, the automatic movements or messages that we don't even are conscious of, the things that are happening, our heartbeat, our
lungs,
things like that. That's all part of movement. The electrical signals from our brain to our rest of the body, that's movement. Those are signals. So these five elements, I think I touched up on all of them.
Yeah.
Those five elements, they get condensed into these three energies that are prevalent in our body and in nature, called Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. So Vata is the wind energy, and these are going to sound very similar, or almost the same to the five elements. They're just more condensed.
Right.
So the Vata dosha or bioenergy is composed of the air and ether. So it's movement. To break it down simply, it's movement. It's the movement energy. The pitta bioenergy is more so related to fire. It's a combination of fire and water, but it is actually representative of fire, of the heat, of the transformation. The water element is in there because of the cohesion, the stickiness, things that, you know, it brings things together and then it transforms it. That's where the water comes in. But pitta, we generally think of the fire element. Kapha is composed of the earth and the water element. The kapha energy is a nourishing energy. It's a stabilizing energy. It's a grounding type energy. It's for growth. It's for immunity. Things along those nature. So in a way, you could look at it as Vata is kinetic energy, Pitta is thermal energy, and Kapha is potential energy. Movement, transformation, growth or nourishment. If you want to keep dividing it into those types of things. So yeah, and those characteristics reflect how the patterns that you're going to have. So when I do the mind body constitution, first we find out what is your main mind body constitution. And yeah, no one is ever rarely just one. We're all a wonderful.
I have a lot of pitta. The mind, sharp and that part.
Yeah, that's great. And the more you know about yourself, about your dosha, the more you can balance that out yourself.
It's the pitta in me that wants ice cream. And every now and then, although you put me on no dairy, no gluten, no sugar, every now and then pitta goes, ice cream, ice cream.
My personal take is if you it's okay to challenge the body. I call it challenging the body because we should be able to sustain challenge our bodies, especially we have to be practical too nowadays.
Of course.
So that actually reaffirms in you that, oh man, I am doing something right, because when you feel like you're in balance and
you feel it. It's not a knowing.
Yeah.
It's feeling.
Feeling it, yes. And feeling is knowing. It's a different type of knowing in a way.
But it's not in your head. It's an actual in your body feeling.
Yes.
It's been a wonderful thing to feel that.
That's I'm so happy to hear that. So when you're in balance for the most part, I feel it's okay to challenge yourself, because what happens is that tells your body back that, oh, I just ate some ice cream. Oh, or I ate some pizza last night. Maybe that wasn't the best idea, but I know now how to balance that. I know now how to counter that. Today, I'm going to take so-and-so and so. Today, I'm going to
have my broccoli and cauliflower.
Yeah.
My body loves broccoli and cauliflower. Those, what are they called? The
cruciferous.
Yes, yeah. My body loves those. Yum, yum, yum.
Wonderful.
Like the little Pac-Man coming along. Wum, 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 wum.
A healthy Pac-Man.
Well, I wanted to have this special time with you because I kind of like to share life experiences, and this one has been such a good one for me.
Great.
And I have had such a good result from it that I just want to share it, with my listeners. And I do have a worldwide audience, so but I would like to, at least those here in Southern California, or most particularly Orange County, if they would like to start on this journey with you, let's give them some contact information.
Sure, absolutely. So my office, it's actually more of a center.
It's a whole holistic center. It's a wonderful place.
Thank you.
Yeah, they call it the Temple of Life, and
of light.
Oh, that's right, light. Well, it's light.
Life.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so there is a center in Irvine, California, called Temple of Light.
Mm-hmm.
My company is called Thrive Center, and that Thrive Center, we here.
I'm going to interrupt him here just for a moment, and I have this segment on in a different place, and for those of you who could be local, we did want to give you local information. But also because his Thrive Center is in Irvine, California. However, this is a worldwide audience, and so Dr. Mashood said that he also can work remotely or he can direct you to someone else that he, recommends that could be in your local area. So now I'm going to let him give the rest of his information about his dream for the future of Thrive Alive.
Pain. Just a lot of things. It's really wonderful and all-encompassing. I'm here located in Irvine, California. The address is 11 Goddard, Goddard, in Irvine. And like I said, this is a center. So in my particular office, I do the treatments and the counseling, but we have a wonderful yoga room upstairs where I teach classes, yoga therapy classes, as well as exercise, I guess you can call it exercise therapy and martial arts, because it is. Martial arts is exercise therapy.
Yeah.
But, it's for all, the beauty of it is for all levels, and it's very controlled, safe, and therapeutic. It's not really about anything but a healing. It's a healing
mm-hmm.
for
healing,
yourself.
Healing. And the telephone number?
Yes. And so the telephone number to reach me is area code 847-989-7117. I am working on a website at the moment. As I mentioned earlier, my company's name is Thrive Center. But an email address, I'm working on a website as well as a Facebook page and other digital media. The email address you can also reach me at is... The email address is F as in Frank, Mashood, M-A-S-H-O-O-D, so that's F-M-A-S-H-O-O-D, at Thrive, Thrive-Center, center.net.
I'll put this on the radio page also, and the telephone number, and I'll put this on my radio page on my website,
so
for you to be able to, if you're local, and or if you want to fly in from anywhere.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. So,
and do you do anything remotely?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that up. So, Thrive Center. Realign, rejuvenate, retreat. Those are, that's I guess that is my motto or slogan that I'm going with.
Okay.
So realign is to rebalance yourself, your energies, your spine even, just to bring things back into harmony. Rejuvenate is to re-energize or to, you know, bring life back into those energies, those tissues, you know, whether it's a physical or mental level. Retreat. Now, retreat is also is a metaphor and quite literally. It's three things. Retreat meaning to continue, to maintain, to retreat, to treat again as needed. If, you know, you need maintenance care or, you know, maybe you need a little bit more time to for things to start kicking in. So, you know, to re-up, to keep on it, to stay steady, to stay steadfast.
Mm-hmm.
The second meaning for it is retreat. This is a place, this is an opportunity where we can retreat, where we can disconnect from, you know, from fast
the outer environment.
From the environment, a place to just...
The traffic on the freeway.
Yeah, it's a place to retreat. It's a place to connect by disconnecting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second part of the meaning of retreat. The third part is something that these are projects that I'm working on are retreats, actual retreats, where sometimes we need a change in our life. I know I did, so
yes.
I had to drastically make a change. I had to actually remove myself from a certain environment for my internal environment to change. Sometimes we need to change our external environment for our internal to change, and sometimes we need to change our internal for the external environment to change.
Exactly right.
So this is retreat. This is an opportunity to do that. Some projects and some retreats coming up in the near future is Lake Elsinore.
Mm-hmm.
We have a farm. My business partner and I. We have a farm. She has a farm in Lake Elsinore where we're trying to put together a nice retreat.
We would stay overnight?
Yes. Right now we're looking at a one to two day retreat, possibly even like a weekend thing. So yeah, that would include just breaking certain patterns or habits and, you know, introducing new ones, whether that's through food, meditation, actual physical treatments that we, you know, will be done there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we're just, you know, going to have fun. Also, it's a way to expand our creativity and you know, share with one another things. So Lake Elsinore is one project. Hawaii is another retreat location I'm working on. South Florida, there's a wonderful farm area called Jupiter Farms that I'm looking to get into there. So, yeah, soon enough. Even in the Bay Area, there's another location that I'm towards San Francisco area that looking to do a retreat. So
great, that's wonderful. So they can keep checking back and get further information about these different ones and all these other locations where some people that are listening might be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Thrive Center, it's. I know we have this location here in Irvine, but it's also in you. It's also the Thrive Center is
that's
you.
That's true.
You're carrying a Thrive Center in you, and it's just waiting to come alive.
Activated.
Yeah, to be activated, to express, you know, its full,
first
its
you
full
find
potential.
The way, then you find the truth about it, and then it becomes your life.
Yes, and you live it, and you feel it.
You live it, and you feel it, and then you can go help others.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this has been great. We've had a long chat here, and I appreciate so much you taking your time to do this.
Okay.
And
I
feel like I'm a walking, living example of the truth of this.
I'm
now
so happy.
And people ask me, what have you done? You know, gosh, Marcy, you've lost weight. Well, Marcy, you look so much younger.
Yeah, you do.
All these things, you know, are good. So I recommend this to everyone, and I just want to say thank you so much again for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Marcy.
Okay.
Appreciate it.